Welcome to worship at Rock Lake Presbyterian Church in South Charleston, West Virginia. We're glad you're here in person or online. We pray that this service will be meaningful, it will help you grow in your faith. Did everyone in this room get some bread when they came in? You did not? Please raise your hand. Okay, good. We will give you a heads up again. I'll remind you before communion that the lids on the communion cups are loose, so pick it up, the cup up from the bottom, not from the lid, just as we did last month. So you all did so great last month, too. We were so excited because none of us spilled. Let us center ourselves and leave our worries behind. Let us come and be prepared to worship God, to give God honor. You know, when we come to worship, we don't come to worship just to receive. In fact, worship in itself comes in liturgy. They come from the word work. This is our work for God. So let us give God glory and honor.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. The bread of life has come among us. What is the bread of life? It is none other than Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. We hunger for the true bread that will nourish our souls. Some, then, to Christ who feeds us with his very life.
We come needing sustenance and nurturing. Amen.
Let us stand if you are able and sing our opening hymn, number 402.
Thank you.
join me in the prayer of the day. Along life's pathways,
we search continually for signs to point us in positive directions. Christ has given us a sign which points us to healing and hope. That is the sign of the bread of life. No more shall we hunger and thirst after the things which cannot sustain us. Now we have been fed and nourished by Christ. Open our hearts in gratitude for all the wondrous things you have done for us. Open our spirits to hear your words of hope for us today. Amen.
Please be seated.
Let's take a minute and open ourselves to worship and to God today. Let's take a deep breath in and breathe out. A slow, deep breath in and breathe out. Breathe in. Let's breathe out stress. Let's breathe in calm. Let's breathe out worry. Let's breathe in release. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Continue. Amen.
Let's stand for the prayer of reconciliation. Let us pray together. In the daily grind of life, we are so often taught to climb the ladder of success by stepping on each other, focusing only on our own wants and needs. Even as children on a carousel, we were taught to grab the golden ring, and it would fulfill our dreams of glory and wealth. Forgive our stupidity, Lord. It is your Son, Jesus Christ, who leads us in the ways of happiness and peace, sustaining us with his life-giving bread. Nurture us again, Lord, with this bread of life, that we may truly focus on the ministries and mission you have set before us. For we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As far as the east is from the west, so great is God's love toward us when we hold God in all. As far as the north is from the south, so far God removes our sins from us. Because God loves us as a loving parent, I declare in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven.
Thank you. The time has come to journey on and go where God leads me. The road is long. I know that God will keep me. God will provide me for the journey.
You all need to sit up here sometime. That was beautiful.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from You. Make us hungry for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 12, verses 9 through 14. He left that place and entered their synagogue. A man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" So they might accuse him. He said to them, "Suppose one of you only have one sheep, and it falls into the pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored, as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture for today is from the book of 1 Kings. I'm reading chapter 18, starting with verse 18. And as I've been doing with these different characters from the Old Testament, the scripture that I read is kind of a jumping off point for the story of these characters' lives. Listen for God's word. Elijah answered Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, have all Israel assemble for me at Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the Israelites and assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Elijah then came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets number 450. This is the word of the Lord. Elijah. Can I just take a poll? How many of you have read the story of Elijah? A few of you. That's good. Well, if you haven't read it, you need to read it, because Elijah is great. He's one of my favorite people in the Bible because his character is so richly developed. You can see him as a full human being rather than just kind of a cardboard cutout, you know. He lived out a very difficult role. His time, the amount of information about him in the Bible is limited. But, you know, what it shows is he's bold and fearless one minute and then fearful and depressed the next. He rebukes the king and then he hides in the wilderness and prays to die. He performs miracles, then feels hopeless. He obeys God and trusts God, but grows weary of his charge to prophesy. You can read all this in the story of Elijah in 1 Kings, starting with chapter 17 through 2 Kings chapter 2. The scripture says that Elijah appears in Israel, which was the northern kingdom after the nation of Israel split into Judah and Israel. And Elijah appears during King Ahab's rule. First Kings says, "Ahab did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than had all the kings of Israel before him." Ahab's main sin was worshiping Baal rather than God. He married Jezebel, who worshiped Baal. And he even sacrificed two of his sons to Baal. God was furious, of course, and sent a severe drought. As God's prophet, it was Elijah who was chosen to inform Ahab of the coming drought. During the reign of Ahab, his wife Jezebel attempts to kill all of God's prophets, so the prophets hide in the wilderness, and it seems that Elijah is one of them who goes into hiding. During the drought, Elijah goes to a wadi. A wadi is a seasonal stream. You know how, well, it's kind of like our basement. Get a lot of rain, have water. Don't get a lot of rain, no water. Anyway, he goes to the wadi where he is able to drink, and ravens bring him bread and meat to keep him alive. Eventually, the wadi dries up, so God sends him to a widow. And when Elijah arrives and asks for food, she tells him that she only has a handful of meal and a tiny bit of oil. She is preparing her last meal for herself and her son, before they die of starvation. Elijah instructs her that the jar of meal and the jug of oil will last until God sends rain. Here we see Elijah as brave and trusting that God will provide even when there is no physical evidence. And indeed, the oil and meal do last. But then the son becomes ill and he dies. And the widow accuses Elijah of causing her son to die. But Elijah, being a man of God, he prays over the son, and it's a miracle, and the son is revived. In the third year of the drought, Elijah comes out of hiding. It's time to go face Ahab. So he bravely confronts Ahab. He tells Ahab to gather the people at Mount Carmel, along with those other prophets, 450 Baal prophets and 400 Asherah prophets. I told you a million times not to exaggerate, right? Elijah does a lot of exaggerating. He's like, I'm the only prophet left in the world. And there are 450 Baal prophets. But Elijah is setting up a public challenge, a contest between God and Baal. So he has the Baal prophets set up a sacrifice. He cuts a bull up and he has them lay it on firewood, but not start the fire. And he says, okay, start praying to Baal. Back in those days, they thought the gods were the source of fire. So he tells them, start praying to your God, and they start praying and nothing happens. They pray some more, but nothing happens. For hours they pray, and at noon Elijah mocks them. He says, cry aloud, sure he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. Well, the prophets keep praying and crying, and it says that they cut themselves with their swords until their blood flowed, but no voice, no answer, no response came. Now it's Elijah's turn. He called the people in closer, wanted to make sure they saw it all. He placed 12 stones to represent the 12 stone tribes of Israel, and he built God's altar. He then made a trench around it, and he instructed them to fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. And he had them do it again and again until the trench was filled with water. And then Elijah prayed. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and you have turned their hearts back. And God's fire fell on the sacrifice, and it consumes the offering, it consumes the wood, it consumes the stones, the dust, and the water. The people fall on their faces and declare, the Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God. Then Elijah ordered the people to seize the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and he took them down the mountain and he slaughtered all of them. Then Elijah went to Ahab and said, you go celebrate, for the rain's coming. And then Elijah returns to the top of Mount Carmel. He bows himself down and puts his face between his knees. He told his servants to go look toward the sea. They go look. They see nothing. He tells them to go back 7 more times. On the 7th time, he says, look, there's a little cloud, no bigger than a person's hand, and it's rising out of the sea. In a little while, the sky grew dark, and the clouds and wind and the rain poured on them all. A miracle had happened before their very eyes. God has prevailed. The people turned back to God, and God blessed them with rain. All is right with the world. You know, it's easy to judge the Israelites, for we kind of have a history of that with judging the Israelites for worshiping other gods, particularly Baal. But don't we worship other things than just God? Our wealth, our tradition, our comfort, our country, our family. We might argue that we don't, but we give more money to build our nice homes than to God's work. Do we give more time and effort to make our families comfortable than we do to share God's word? Do we want to retain traditional practice at church at the expense of welcoming new people who do not know our automatic prayers and our recitations? It's more important for us to recite the Lord's Prayer as we memorized it as children rather than pray in contemporary language, which makes us actually think about what we are saying. Do we not have power struggles in churches rather than to seek to live in love? There are many things that we worship more than God. We may not use the word worship. We might use the word like. But I like it better this way. I'm more comfortable with it this way. I've always said it this way. I've always done it this way. Rather than remaining relevant and having faith as a part of our contemporary lives when it only takes us back to children's Sunday school. It is useless to us today if it is not relevant to what we do this very day. Elijah had to go into hiding from people who worshipped other gods. They worshipped what was not of God because that was the popular thing to do. We do that a lot, right? Something becomes popular. Their leaders held power, and so the people followed the false leaders and worshipped a lie. For years, Elijah couldn't speak God's truth. It seems that it was too dangerous. Perhaps the people were unable to hear God's word until they had reached their absolute low point with the drought. And then Elijah arose and confronted a whole country and a king. He boldly proclaims God's truth in the midst of enemy territory. He confronts and challenges those who hold power with no regard for his own safety. Because he knows that God will prevail. And indeed, God does prevail. Fire comes down, consumes the fire and the sacrifice and the altar. The people change their hearts. They worship God, the true God, not a lie. Elijah has faced the challenge and succeeded, enabled God to change the world. Elijah slays the enemy. And then God sends rain. The drought is over. The funny thing is that once the fire burns up the sacrifice and the false prophets are killed, Elijah sends Ahab away to celebrate. And then he returns to the mountain alone with only servants to watch. His job is not done. So it describes, he goes to the top of the mountain. Now picture this. He bows down and puts his head between his knees. Can you imagine it? Like down like this. And he says to his servants, "You go look. I can't stand it. Is there anything? Are there any clouds? Look out at the sea." And they don't see anything. He says, "Well, go look again." Again and again he says it 7 times. And finally he dares to look and he sees a small cloud the size of a hand. Finally God sends rain. But, you know, Elijah has gone from this brave prophet who, you know, slays the Baal worshippers to this little man with his servants on the top of the mountain going, "You go look." I love Elijah. He's so much like us. One minute we're brave, the next minute we're terrified. You know, it appears at the end of this, when the rain comes, that all is right with the world and everything is fine, but there's more, of course. It's like a modern movie. The story doesn't end there. Just as they're celebrating, Ahab returns home, tells his wife that Elijah killed all her prophets, and she flies into a rage and sends a message that she's going to kill Elijah. after all his bravery, his confronting his king and nation, his sensational proof of God, Elijah is emotionally, physically, and spiritually exhausted, and he crashes. We can imagine that, can't we? You know, when we face a huge challenge, have to have a difficult conversation with someone, we spend a large amount of emotional energy rehearsing how the conversation's going to go and what I'm going to say and what they're going to say. We lose sleep over it. We seek counsel from other people. And we finally face the challenge, hoping for resolution. We have that hard conversation, and when we are done, we expect relief to come, but the situation worsens, and there seems no way to improve the crisis. This is Elijah's crisis. After all that amazing work for God, Jezebel doesn't convert, but instead plots to kill him. Sometimes there is no justice for people doing right. It seems that evil will prevail. No one stands up to Jezebel. No one offers to protect Elijah. Even Ahab, who has just celebrated because God won the challenge. The people of Israel, who have just turned their hearts back to God, they don't stand up for Elijah. No, they don't say a word. And Elijah crashes. He travels a day's journey into the wilderness, sits under a broom tree, and prays to die. He says, "It is enough now, Lord, to take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." In exhaustion and depression and hopelessness, he lays down and falls asleep. But God has heard his prayers, and after a while, an angel comes up and touches him. "Get up and eat." The angel feeds him in his despair, nourishes his soul as well as his body, and he lays down again and goes to sleep. After a while, the angel comes again. "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He rises, eats, and drinks. He is so nourished by God's angels that he travels 40 days and 40 nights. He wanders in that wilderness like his ancestors. We imagine how lost and alone he felt. When he comes to Mount Horeb, he enters a cave and goes to sleep for the night. And this is when God speaks to him. God says, "What are you doing, Elijah?" Elijah summarizes his despair. "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." God says, "Go stand on the mountain, Elijah, and I'll show myself to you." How often when we despair, when we feel lost and alone, we crave evidence of God's presence. We need to know that God is still there in the midst of failure, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of loss. And so Elijah goes out on the mountain, and a great wind comes to the mountain and breaks the rocks, and we've seen that happen a lot in West Virginia. But God is not in the wind. An earthquake comes, and then a fire, but God isn't in the earthquake or the fire. After the fire, the Bible said, there was a sound of sheer silence. Elijah knew that this was God. And he wraps his face in a mantle and stands at the mouth of the cave. And God speaks again, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah repeats his story. "I am alone, and they are seeking to take away my life." God takes pity on Elijah and decides it's time for relief. It's time for God to act through others. God tells Elijah, go anoint Hazael as king of Aram. Anoint Jehu king over Israel. And anoint Elisha as your replacement. It is time for Elijah to lay down his burden and live out his days. Of course, he has a few exploits after that. But at this point, then he has people who have his back. God says, well, if Hazael can't kill your enemies, then Jehu will. And if Jehu won't, then Elisha will. In other words, I have your back. I have people who are your support system. You can read the rest of Elijah's tale in 1 and 2 Kings. At the end of his tale, though, it is written that years later, Elijah and Elisha are walking together when a chariot of fire and horses of fire came between them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. The Israelites today await Elijah's return. Many think that Elijah is the next Messiah. And so when Jesus walked the earth, many thought he was Elijah, that Elijah had returned. But it was Jesus. I hope that Elijah inspires you to know that you do face hard times and God is with you every step of the way. And that when you are bold and brave and speak God's truth in the midst of adversity, God has your back. When you struggle and feel lost and don't know where God is, remember that God comes in the silence. Let's stand and sing, God is my strong salvation. Affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We are seeing COVID numbers going up again with this new variant. And so, in fact, a friend of mine had to be flighted to Morgantown because of blood clots in her lungs. And the reason she couldn't stay in the area was because there were no ICU beds available. So let us keep praying for those who are ill, who are getting sick from COVID, and let us pray for our medical providers who are facing this again, still on and on. What other joys and concerns do you have? Raise your hand and they'll bring a mic to you. Anybody? My friend who was life flighted, her name is Vicki Hess. I would appreciate prayers for her. She was doing much better. Let us pray for all those who are on vacation and who are traveling at this time, that God might revive them and renew them. You know, it's like Elijah went to the wilderness and just to regain strength. He wasn't skiing on the lake or, you know, going to see some tourist site. But we all need time to go and be refreshed. So let's celebrate those who are able to and pray for them in their journeys. Let us come to God in prayer. Lord, we lift up names of people and situations in our own hearts. Maybe we haven't said them out loud, but they are in our hearts and our minds. We pray for those who need your healing touch. Remind us that we stand continually in need of your healing touch. Remind us that we also need your mercy. We come to you not only in need, we also come thankful for the bounty of all you give to us, to enable us to be your ministers. We offer our lives and our resources for your services. Bless our gifts to you that we might always use them according to your will. And we thank you for all who have given generously to your ministry through Rock Lake Presbyterian Church. And now we pray as Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand if you are able. We are singing verses 1, 2, and 3, for the bread which you have broken.
Thank you.
needed. Friends, this is the joyful feast of Christ. Christ comes to us and offers this feast. Just like the angel came to Elijah in the wilderness, God comes to us through Christ to nourish us in body and spirit. All who proclaim Jesus as their Savior are welcome at this table. Let us pray our great prayer of thanksgiving. It's printed in your bulletin. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. All glory and honor are yours, Almighty Creator. We praise you for forming this magnificent world from nothing, for creating us in your image, breathing life into us, and placing us in this world.
Teaching us how to live in your love.
When we turned away from your way, you sent the prophets to call us back. You have called leaders in every time to bring us back into your loving embrace.
In Jesus you came to live among us. On earth he was living bread to feed our hunger, and living water to quench our thirst for you. He showed us how you want us to live, eating with sinners, healing sick, reaching out to the unloved.
He called followers to learn his way, to carry your word to the world.
He suffered persecution, torture, and death, but then he rose to new life, that we might know your eternal love and hope.
Merciful God, by your Spirit, bless us and make us holy. Be present in your gifts of wine and bread so that we are all united with each other and with you. In communion with all the faithful in heaven and on earth, fulfill in us and in all creation the purpose of your redeeming love. Amen. We're going to start the service, and I just want to remind you one more time, please pick up your cup from the bottom, not from the lid, okay? You know, Jesus gathered with his disciples, and they were celebrating Passover, and he took the bread, and he blessed it. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Each time that we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. Now, if you'll get your bread out. This is the bread of heaven. Thought we lost you there for a minute. This is the cup of salvation. Oh God, we have received the wondrous gift of bread and wine. We are reminded that Christ nurtures and feeds us with Christ's own life. We thank you for spiritual and physical nourishment. May we go from this place in renewed commitment to serve you with every bit of our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing the fourth verse. Refreshed, made new and refreshed by God's presence. May you go out into the world sharing the love and the peace and the joy that you have received. May you go out stronger that you may serve God and give up your false idols, that every moment of your life will be honored and devoted to serving God. Go in peace. And all God's people say,
Hallelujah, 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 Amen.